Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm not sure what's happening with Jeannie, if she's having some challenges getting on the site, or what's occurring that she didn't open the gate with us, but we're delighted that you're here, and we are here to support you in the learning of the tool of forgiveness. And Jeannie's just telling me that she lost her connection. She'll be a minute, and the website will be up and operating the chat room. So in the meantime, we are here with the invitation that we present on a regular basis of learning forgiveness, and that forgiveness in the original Aramaic sense of the word has to do with letting loose of what does not belong within our human systems and embodying the presence of a human life. That is the active presence of love. And so the process of forgiveness being one where instead of letting other people off the hook because there's something painful inside of you, you learn to remove what never belonged in your human beingness. And we have an easy, simple definition of human beingness, and that is the active presence of love. And so if you're experiencing something that's less than love, then there's something inside of you that's in need of forgiveness. Not someone outside of you that's in need of forgiveness, but something inside of you that's in need of being removed. And that's what we're here to support every mind, heart, and being on planet Earth in doing. And so if you're interested in just how that occurs, how that's done, the technology is all free and open on our website, which is www.whyagain.com. www.why. How do you determine what never belonged? Well, hold a newborn child. You know what human life is, and anything less than that does not belong in the human system. And so that's what we're here to do. And if you have a question for us, we would be delighted to hear your sweet voice. Our phone number is 646-200-4169. If you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. Jeannie, do we have any callers? Do we have anything happening in the chat room?
Well, we did have someone on just a moment ago with their hand up, and they've hung up. So if you'll call back in. However, yesterday, right towards the end of the show, and I didn't have time to ask the question, and so I told them to remind me of it. And they had asked, would you please comment on about how we set things up in our own life and that it's not God setting up tests for us?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's an excellent question because, one of the games of this, what we call the non-being mind, that is the mind that's got everybody else to blame, is exactly that. It's the blame game. And what does the blame game look like and what's its effect? Well, the blame game starts with denial, and denial works like this. When I say to somebody, you made me, then in order to believe that you made me, I have to hide a part of my mind. When I hide a part of my mind, I then create pictures out of that part of my mind where I actually believe that you made something happen inside of my mind, which of course is ludicrous. Now, you can go all the way back to the very beginnings of humanity. In fact, if you go back to the story of creation, you hear about this so-called fall from grace, and what happens in that story is that there's an apple eaten, a command is disobeyed, and when the command is disobeyed, the Creator shows up and starts asking questions. So you'll notice that in each case, it's all somebody else's fault. And so when we set something in our minds that does not belong in our minds, that is any form of hostility or fear, then what we do is we set an energetic dynamic in motion that opens a space for whatever it is that we're hiding in ourselves to show up and play out in our lives. So in essence, what that's in mind when we think a thought, literally on an energetic level, when there's something we deny, especially when we deny it repeatedly, we are literally setting up an energetic pattern that resonates or pulls somebody in to play that out with us. Now, of course, nobody wants to own that. Nobody wants to admit when they've been through something 87 different times with 42 different people that they're the one that was there every time and that they must be the one who's setting it up. They want to blame somebody who doesn't set up tests, doesn't condemn. None of that stuff is involved in the Creator. We have been given the ability to set up what happens in our lives. You remember that there's so many ways that we're told that in the ancient teachings. Ask and you receive. Of course, that means if you receive, you have asked. But when there's something you keep receiving over and over and over again that you don't want to own, that you don't want to look at and you don't want to deal with, what does the average person do? Well, let's see if we can find somebody to blame. Oh, I know, God. God's not here in the sense of going to turn around and say, no, not me, like all the other people around you. So when people run out of others to blame, well, let's just lay it on God's shoulders. So I'd offer that we set our own tests up. We set up the parts of our minds that we never wanted to look at and never wanted to deal with. And you remember in Romans they said, nothing will remain hidden. Everything will be made known in the light of day. That's the issue they were addressing, that whatever we hide from ourselves, it's going to show up in our lives. And we do that to ourselves. It's kind of, I like to use the acronym SIN, sin, self-inflicted nonsense. We do it to ourselves. It's time to stop. It's time to wake up. It's time to start to function as the human beings that we are. And again, if you ever forget what human life is, just hold a newborn child, you'll know precisely what it is. It is this awesome, active presence of love. And that's the truth of your being and the truth of my being. When we get convinced of something else, then we set something different up. There's so many ways you can go back into the ancient teachings and see that verified. For instance, you listen to Job, and after all he goes through, what does Job say? Ah, I got it. That which I feared most has come upon me. When I'm told to fear, then I hide from myself.
Chat room, did that answer your question, Musicom, from yesterday? We'll see what she says.
Cool. Awesome. And, did they call back in?
The caller has not called back in.
Okay,
if you're on 646-200-4169, press 1, and that lets me know to put you in queue. Dr. Tim and Dr. David both are on the switchboard, and they are on.
Cool. Fabulous. All right. Welcome, David.
A few quick comments on the blame and using God and so forth. You know, as you said, it's just the dissociated mind coming up with this, what I see as a protective device to keep things hidden without experience and feeling the things that the energies of anger and fear and hostility and that. So for me to take responsibility for anything, even just making that statement, I remember I was invited to make that statement some years back, just to stand and look in the mirror at myself and say those words out loud. I take total responsibility for my life. And then that inner dialogue just absolutely comes up with everything. And to me, that's what I refer as that the ultimate blame, the ultimate excuse and reason. Well, then I can always use God for, gee whiz, you know, that challenges me to look at everything that I've ever conceived and perceived God as being. And if that's what I've conceived as God as being a blame, well, then that's the only thing that can show up in my mind. So that's my thoughts around it, and thank you for doing the show, and I'll put it on mute and listen.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for your comment, and, you know, I put several calls and a couple of texts in and hadn't heard back, so if we could chat after the show, I'd appreciate it.
If your soul decides to serve God, then it's that lifetime in which the decision was made to serve God that the soul decides to set up its own test.
I guess that would be one way of saying it. And, of course, the test is, you know, the whole bottom line, I think, of every test is, can I live a human life? Can I live as the awesome active presence of love? And when I don't, then I've set up the opportunity for me to learn to forgive that which I'm carrying around that is less. So that's what we're here to support, and to learn how to forgive anything that's less than that. So the caller that called in earlier, you're on the line. If you want to just dial back in again, we would love to hear your voice, love to hear your thoughts, your questions. And again, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. So, Jeannie, anything else happening in the chat room?
No, for right now, that's it, and nobody has their hand up yet.
My children or the man on the street, all I'm doing effectively is hiding from myself the fact that I'm creating my experience. I'm hiding my power in that regard. And often I don't make a conscious choice to do that. It's an automatic reflexive thing that's been conditioned into me by the culture, my parents. It's what I've seen all of the other adults in my life do. So it happens so quickly that I'm not even aware of it. I recently had someone who's done some really good work in my office, the worksheet process, does worksheets on a regular basis, understands that he's creating his own emotions. And when something very distressing occurred in a family interaction, and one of his children was so upset they decided to try to take some pills and end their life, the child, you know, survived and didn't take the pills, someone was there to stop them, etc. But this gentleman was in the office, and even though he's done worksheets, we've talked about it, he's even coached his children to say, you're creating your own emotions, etc., he erupted in the office with the statement, you know, she just made me so angry when she did that, and it just really pisses me off when she does that. And it's an auto response. It's so well conditioned that his intense emotion at the time disrupted his logic, and he went back to the old conditioned response, and it took 3 or 4 comments back and forth between him and I for him to slow down, take some breaths, calm down, and then realize what it was he was saying, that he'd gone back to the old conditioning. Well, the reason he went back to the old conditioning is because his anger felt more empowering and helped him avoid the feelings of helplessness and fear that he might actually lose one of his children. And when he got in touch with that, as you've talked about many times before, when you get at what's behind the anger, often there's the intense emotion of helplessness or sadness, and the tears come, and then there's the relief, and now you have something you can actually work with. Because at the fundamental level, there isn't a parent on the planet who doesn't have a sense of terror about the thought that they might lose a child.
High level, you know, what appeared to be spiritually aware and spiritually oriented conversation about how, yes, I set things up and blah, 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 blah. And then within about 3 minutes, when we start to talk about a real issue, that's going on, then the words that came out of her mouth were how, you know, they really made her angry. And it's interesting to watch how the non-being mind will, and in these circumstances, I would ask, fly up, my thoughts remain below. And when we're not willing to get in touch with that dissociated mind, it runs our words, and it's such an awesome clue if we can just start to watch our words and catch the words that we use. And as we catch the words that we use that are words of projection and dissociation, that's the opportunity to go, ah, I just got another part of my mind that I need to heal, rather than if you leave it to unawareness and the body's mind itself, the mind will just hallucinate another story and literally totally forget that it just walked into its own projection of how it's all somebody else's fault. I mean, that's the basic belief on the planet. That's the basic conversation on the planet. You made me. And so being able to undo that, especially in the closest relationships, it's always the biggest challenge because, of course, you don't let people you're distant from into the deeper parts of your own mind. And so it's obvious that when somebody does enter into the deeper parts of our minds, we're going to get to confront what's in those deeper parts. And so to be able to just simply be committed to doing one's work and to walking through and letting loose of those things is such an awesome opportunity. And to catch the mind as it tells all of its stories about everybody and everything else, and to undo the mind's games and step back into a true human life where the awesome active presence of love is our normal state. And that's where we want to head. That's our support. And of course, where forgiveness fits into that story is that forgiveness is the tool with which you address, capture, and change those parts of the mind. You come back into, when you apply the reality management worksheet process, which is Aramaic forgiveness, then you get to capture the part or get to see the part of your mind that perhaps has been hiding in your bloodline for 1,000 generations, and it's oftentimes hidden by our language. And then, when you really pay attention to your language just exposes it. So it's pretty cool. And if you go back to the ancient understandings, the ancient scriptures, they knew exactly how this process worked when they said the words come from the abundance of the heart. So if our heart or our dissociated mind is filled with blame and fear, and then when the stress comes up, now I'm not talking about when people are in their nicey-nice conversations and everybody's going, oh, la la la, isn't this a wonderful thing? But rather when the stress is up and the chips are down and you watch where people's language goes and you start watching where your own language goes, and of course I'm speaking about me too, when I start watching where my own language goes, then I get to see deeper parts of my mind, and that means I get to clean up deeper parts of my mind. There's a saying in sailing circles, I understand, that says a smooth sea never made a good sailor. So if you want to be a really good sailor, if you want to be one of those guys, Ginny and I had breakfast with the minister at Unity in Sarasota this morning, and she's a sailor. And she was sharing about this fellow who's circumnavigating North and South America by himself nonstop in a 35 or 37 foot boat. And it was really, you know, interesting to hear. And the only place you sailed was Sarasota Bay. And then taking your 37 foot craft and wanting to sail down around the Cape of Good Hope. Chances are, if you'd only ever sailed Sarasota Bay and all of a sudden had to navigate the Cape of Good Hope, your life would be over. And so it is that when we, instead of trying to avoid and get away from, push off or away from everybody that shows us the parts of our minds that we don't like, when we can approach those people and deal with those parts of our minds, that's when and how we're strengthened. How did the scriptures say it? I believe they said iron sharpens iron. And of course, when iron is sharpening iron, the sparks fly. So if you've got any sparks in you, allow those sparks to come up, embrace them, and transmute them to love. And that's the healing process. And that's the level of responsibility that big people go for. I mean, people who are bigger than the small mind that runs around with, you know, it's all everybody else's fault. It's actually a great quote from George Bernard Shaw, who speaks about the little minds and how one moves into a different space. And he, his quote speaks of, this is stuff we quote in our Purpose, Person, Power, and Commitment workshop. And what he says is people, let's see, how does he say it? The quote's not coming to me directly right now, but... I had it on the tip of my tongue and it's disappeared. But anyway, it's
something
pretty cool.
Something about
the
feverish clods of... right here.
Selfish,
you want me to read it?
Yeah, if you've got it. Cool. Please do, sweetie.
This is the true joy of life, the being used up for a purpose, recognized by yourself as the mighty one, being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the community, and as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up before I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. Life is no brief candle to me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for a moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it to the next, to the future generations.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you for being so honest that you just jump right on and are able to look that up. I appreciate you a lot. And so, yeah, it's in that feverish, selfish little clod of ailments, in order to hold on to its grievances, basically has to isolate itself and stay in its own little box in order to keep the belief that something outside of it is the problem. Although it may proclaim with its words, oh, I know I'm responsible, at every turn, it's ready to rage over and over and over again. It will complain about others who rage, but then at every turn, it wants to rage at someone, that feverish, selfish little clod of ailments, and doesn't come out of its box, but rather has to be in a controlled space, or has someone else in control. And when we decide to step out of the box, sometimes we're confronted with some things that, you know, maybe like this sailor that's building the skill of sailing is going to go out in the rough waters, and it opens whole new skill levels. And we're here to support people in the willingness to embrace the deepest skill levels possible for human life, and that is to be able to face any and every event in your world and hold to your human life, hold to the active presence of love. That's what we're here to support people in. And that's the primary tool of forgiveness and its effects that produce that result. And that's what we're here to do. Maybe that's her. So, Minae, if you're there with some insight for us, we would love to hear your sweet voice and what you have to say. And in the meantime, just a couple of, by the way, of announcements, we are in Sarasota, Florida. If anybody's in the Sarasota area, we actually just yesterday morning, or actually it was after the show yesterday, that we set up an additional Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. We're actually going to do it here in about 3.5 hours, 5 o'clock. We're in Sarasota at the a place called Advanced Wellness Center. And this afternoon at 5 o'clock from 5 to 8:30, we're going to do the workshop, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Right here, live and free open workshop. And then we'll be heading on Saturday up to Tampa, and on Sunday morning be doing the Sunday service at Harmony Center. And then Sunday afternoon we'll do Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And then we've got a full series of workshops Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. So we'll be in Tampa, and we would love to have you come and visit us. They're free open workshops from Sunday through Friday. And then there is, when we travel, one workshop we charge a fee for. It's an all-day, very intense, process-oriented workshop called Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And it's an awesomely powerful workshop, and we'll do that next Saturday. Not not the Saturday coming, but the following Saturday, we'll do Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing at Harmony Center in Tampa and in that part of North Central Florida. Or,
south of St. Augustine.
Florida. South of St. Augustine, pardon me, yes. So we'll be there starting April 6th. So if anybody wants to come and enjoy some beautiful Florida weather, it should be awesome then. We have a beautiful home that we'll be doing the intensive in. It'll be residential. We'll be doing the fabulous Heartland food, accommodations, workshop materials, everything. And that'll start on April 6th, Good Friday, and go through the following Saturday.
A nonprofit number has called back in.
Yes, thank you. And I'm kind of new. I'm not new on the spiritual pathway. Not new to. I used to work for Unity Church for 15 years. Okay, I was music director at the couple, one big one in South Florida. And but I'm new to your work, and I just want to verify: is the level of my voice okay, so that it doesn't, you know, it's not too loud for the recording?
You're doing fine.
Okay, thank you. I'm the person who put up the comment about God, you know, when the soul decides to serve God, time in which the decision to serve God is taken, that is when the soul decides to set up the tests, okay, to see if it can love enough. You know, and it'll put itself in positions where, you know, it gets to get burned at the stake and then have to, you know, forgive the people that did that, you know. And I didn't get this myself, okay?
Can you hold for just a second? I've got a thought. I'm going to invite you to, before we get too far past it, I'm going to invite you, let's step back for a minute and let's let go of the belief that you can possibly forgive anybody for anything. We're bringing an ancient idea of forgiveness forward, and we're working to change the Greek idea, the part of me that believes that that's necessary.
Where
the reality management worksheet comes in.
Oh, right. And I'm the one that's working with the child worksheet because some of the concepts on it are so specifically directed, like an adult can use this, like where it says, you know, I want to blame, you know, or I want to punish. Well, what happens to me is that we're not blaming and punishing. We're just going right into self-destruct, okay? And so, and disconnect and like...
from blame and punish.
But in other words, it's like there's nobody else to blame and punish right now. You know, I just go into self-destruct over this, right? And then,
Slow down just a little bit. So I'd offer that. That's blame and punishment of self. Self-destructive. I'm to blame. I need to be punished. So now I'll destroy self. It's the same dynamic. It's just projected on the self. And in Aramaic, you are your own neighbor. And so when it says have rachma, have love for neighbor, it means that you stand in that space of love for self, which would mean that self-destruct wouldn't be possible. And so my invitation would be that maybe some of your next worksheets are going to be with yourself.
Hold a high space and a space of love and appreciation for things. And yet this kind of stuff will start coming up when I'm too busy to work on it. I'm driving on I-95 to Miami because I have to get to the Catholic Church where I work as an organist. Or I'm in the kitchen and there's bacon, you know, browning, and I've got the onions cut up and the spinach ready to go into the recipe, and I can't stop to sit down and have to get quiet. Let's meditate a little. Let's write a little. Now let's do a worksheet on this. You know, it's like, and I'll get like four or five disconnects, but I like the worksheets are helpful because if I stay with this child worksheet all the way through to the end, I get back to a place where, wait a minute, I can let that go. I can reconnect to myself in love. And right now, right here in this life, in this moment, in this house, in my life now, I can do that. I can reconnect into love. If I just give myself a few minutes to keep breathing and to say, this is more important. And, you know, these, like, phantoms out of past lives that will show up in my, you know, people will show up and I'll get a weird feeling about them. Look, I spent 6 years working with a grid healer, somebody who really has the ability to get up in the grid, and she did it with a master, a yoga master who came out of India multilingual gentleman who could speak English, trained in British English, knew the Muslim culture as well, did tours of the United States, actually came to Fort Lauderdale in 1974 and stayed at the Galt Ocean Mile Hotel and looking for Fort Lauderdaleans to adopt on the path. I didn't show up. I don't know if you showed up, but then went out to Seattle and initiated this other lady that I did the grid sessions with. And so this is the woman that gave me this comment about in the lifetime that the soul decides to serve God. So that's where I got it. That didn't come out of my own intelligence. But anyway, thank you for helping people stay grounded right here, right now, because the ability to turn back love on is now.
Delighted to be with you on the path, sir. You have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, take care. Well, here's the Soul Point Breathing Workshop as well. The week after the 11th, so I guess that would be the Saturday would probably be the 17th of March. So we're delighted to be here with you, Jeannie. Do we have any other callers? Do we have any questions or thoughts in the chat room?
And that is on Saturday the 17th. And no, nobody else has their hands up right now. So 646-200-4169, press 1 to go in the queue to talk to Michael.
And Anae, we would love to hear your sweet voice if you're out there. I think you had texted me that you were going to be calling to share some of what your latest opportunity was and breakthrough. So we'd love to hear from you, and we're delighted that we have this opportunity to work with everybody that's on the show.
We have a caller, 810. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael. It's Adam again.
Hey, welcome, Adam. How goes the process?
You know, it's a process. So, and this morning.
Sure.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here. Yeah, still working on some of the assignments, but I committed and I'm going to do them. So, this morning I watched your video communication. Did you hear what I think I said?
Right.
And Rex had loaned it to me. I really loved it, and it just really, really helped reinforce how much, no matter what it appears someone's doing or what they are doing, it's always an opportunity to work on what is inside of our own self, and really getting, like, you know, I have felt terror in this relationship that I'm in, and really realizing how destructive that is to my own self, and how destructive whenever I feel hatred is to my own self.
Play whatever it is that I feel inside of me when somebody does that behavior, I get to repeat that over and over and over, and I keep pulling people in to do it. Until, instead of problem solving, there's this old adage that says that the brave dies but once, the coward 1,000 times. The person who will not heal, the person who will not open their own dissociated mind, thinks that by problem solving and changing them, beating on them, whatever, that they can avoid dealing with what's going on inside of them. So the focus of the non-being mind is always change the stimulus. Then I won't have to deal with the response. But the response in me is a cause that will keep bringing the same stimulus about again and again and again. So you want to be brave enough to open that dissociated mind once, or you might do it a few more times to clean it out totally, but brave enough to open it and to clear out that which needs to be healed, expose that which needs to be healed.
In general, I'm really getting more and more just like how much stuff there is there. It's like almost every thought that I have, I'm, when I'm honest with myself, realizing like, wow, I have all this stuff to clean up. And before it was so easy when my partner would have some pretty extreme behaviors to really like point the finger at her and think like, oh, it's really inside of her. And that it's so relieving to really understand that, man, I'm drawing this into myself. And now I'm seeing some of the thoughts that I'm using to draw it into myself. And it's just such a liberating process that I'm very grateful for.
Very cool. Well, that's powerful. That's going to change your family's process forever. And, you know, sometimes we're presented with the idea that there are special people who, you know, they're perfect and they don't have anything to deal with. But when you recognize that each of us is sitting on the shoulders of giants, that is, we've had 1,000 generations of every kind of hostility and fear and every kind of wonderful thing as well. And the idea is to get to the point where we can let go of the hostility and fear, because the hostility and fear makes such noise internally that the wonderful stuff becomes unavailable. And so the idea is to get to where we can experience and tap into the wonderful stuff 24/7, 365. But it's hard to do. You know, how'd that old adage go? It's hard to remember that you're an eagle when you fly with the turkeys all day. So, and you know, we've all got these generational issues to deal with, and they're so huge. And I don't care who it is. You know, I don't care if it's a doctor, the lawyer, the Indian chief. If you go back into their generations and there's rage and grief and war and murder and slaughter and pain, then when we are conceived, when we come into the world, we have that rage and grief and murder and slaughter and pain within us. And most people try to set a life up of a corporation. I don't care. If they haven't dealt with the multi-generational insanity in their bloodline, they're no different than anybody else. And as we recognize that, then, and I'm talking about most that people look up to as spiritual masters. You know, if you look at it, the tool of forgiveness was disappeared from planet Earth almost 2,000 years ago. I can tell you from experience, you know, with the circles that I travel in, and, you know, we're on the road, and sometimes we do conferences with different people who are looked up to as being very high-level people, but most of them, when you get them in the back room, it's no different than anybody else. Well, what about when such and such did this and, you know, they really enraged me? Yeah, right, okay. So now are you willing to deal with your generational rage rather than pretend that somebody else could possibly cause something to happen inside of you? And if you pretend that somebody else could possibly have to cause something to happen inside of you, then, of course, you're stuck in codependence. And so if you really step forward and, you know, you're opening a space, and we appreciate you doing that. That's a big contribution to the work for every person who does that.
Yeah, thank you so much for the support to do it, because, you know, I've played with tools for a long time, and it's just recently seemed more and more urgent and more ready to, because it's like in some of your shows you've described where, you know, people listen to it and get it intellectually, but actually, like, you know, the work is not for, I forget the words, cowards or something, you know, what Yeshua taught. And I'm really understanding that for a long time. Like, I sort of just stayed within the confines of the ivory towers of the mind, and now I'm, like, ready to face the hardship that's in my own heart. So, and it is, like, I'm starting to see what you're saying. There's lots of generations there. I had a conversation with my mother and learned all sorts of things I had no idea about her childhood and what went on for her. And, you know, there's been some ahas. And so I sometimes feel overwhelmed because there's a lot there. So.
Michael, if you're talking, we can't hear you.
Oh, excuse me. I had my mute button on. Thank you, sweetie. We had breakfast with somebody this morning, and we were talking about the patterns from the generations, and she was sharing how when her daughter was 9, she left her family. You know, she divorced, and they went off and moved to another city, and all of a sudden she was kind of like, oh, my daughter has a daughter that's 9, and she's in the throes of the very same thing. Oh, no. It's just, you know, the patterns. Patterns, and even down to the timing, oftentimes is just precise and exact. And when we're willing to engage in the process, not engage in the understanding, but engage in the process, you can say and spew out all the right words, but as you say, until you actually dig in, you know, it's just, I think it was Gandhi that used to say, if you want potatoes, you got to use the hoe. If you want healing, you got to dig up your stuff and clean it up. So it is definitely quite an undertaking, isn't it?
Yeah, I, you know, previously I thought I'd done a lot of healing work, and maybe it got me to where I am. Like I just practiced cranial sacral therapy, esoteric healing, studied with a bunch of different teachers, and yet, you know, there's just all this stuff that remains, and you know, I see now how trapped I still am, and more so was when I thought that I was some healer who had something figured out, and yet I was judging people right and left. And I listened to this talk by Ram Dass yesterday, and you know, he's
notice that you're never upset unless you've got a goal for something or somebody to be different. The goal is the key. Now, the goal is not the thing. The goal is just the key. You want to unlock the door. It's not about negative goals or positive goals. The goal is the key to unlock the door that shows you the content of your mind. So when you load a goal and the goal resonates hostility or fear, then it isn't about the goal itself. A lot of people can become fixated on the goal. The goal is just the key to open the door to cleaning out the dissociated content. You can have the most wonderful goal in the world, and if you're disturbed and upset because that goal isn't being fulfilled, the problem is not the goal of, you know, wanting a certain thing. The problem is that when you load that goal in your mind uses its dissociated content to build your output, your reality and your guidance, and that's where the hostility and fear comes in. So the canceling of the goal, whatever it is, it can be a negative goal or a positive goal, is simply a way to access that dissociated part of the mind and clean it out. That's where the real work is the cleaning out of that part of the mind. And so to be honest with the goals and to, you know, in the Aramaic language, the word forgive is shebag, and it literally translates to cancel, and it has to do with canceling goals. And that key, by canceling a goal, which seems so counterintuitive, gee, you know, all I want is world peace, and I'm enraged that the world isn't at peace. Well, when I cancel my goal for world peace, then I can start to directly access the part of me that holds rage in the world and maintains war. And that's where the healing is in that content. So, yeah, you bring up a good point when you talk about the goals and the way you want it to be. And it's such a powerful key in the whole process. And so that's definitely an important piece. It's really all, when we start to rise above it, it's all pretty humorous, because when we start to rise above it, we realize the silliness with which we've created a lot of the garbage that seems so serious. And by letting it go, we get to create the best year yet of our eternal lives, and that's what we're here to support everybody in doing. Bring a stranger to the show with you. Let's see, tomorrow we've got one more show this week, and have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.yagain.com. That's www.yagain.com. WHYAGAIN